You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Right, you're on The Wire and we've got Neil Curtis on air. Hello, Neil.
Hello there.
So Neil is a published author, a media theorist and a university professor who runs the critical theory department at Auckland Uni. How are you going today?
I'm good, thanks.
That's great to hear. So over the past few months, Facebook has come under fire for its role in presenting news to the public. There's been criticism that it creates a sort of bubble of information that's curated specifically. It's based on its users' values. In 2013, a survey showed that 66% of users go to Facebook for a news source, and with 1.3 billion daily users, that's a whole lot of people relying on algorithms to inform them. Do you believe that news consumption and public education sort of being run by social media algorithms is problematic?
Yes, of course it is, because unlike most things in a democracy, they're not transparent or accountable, so we can't see how the algorithms work or what they're trying to do. So that's the first major problem with that. But then there's also the related issue of people sharing whatever happens to appear there. So it's not like if it is becoming a space or a platform for journalism, it doesn't have the checks and the balances that are in place in any normal journalistic institution, which means that all sorts of information that's pretending to be journalistic or presenting as being journalistic can get on there without any of the normal checks and balances that have been traditionally applied to journalism.
And I suppose we sort of saw that at its peak in the US election, where Facebook was accused of influencing the results, and they've admitted that 677,000 people were exposed to Russian propaganda posing as news. Yeah. So it's like quite likely that people can abuse these algorithms, yeah?
Yeah, it's not so much the abuse of the algorithm, although I think Facebook is prone to certain abuse of its own algorithm. It's more about the fact that the platform is open to or exposed to the generation of information from any source. As I say, it doesn't come through the regular sort of checks of media institutions, so therefore it's open to any kind of information. And because a lot of people who use social media, as you said at the beginning, often like to go there to visit a bubble in which their worldview is confirmed. Stories, even if they're sort of fake or false or made up, that confirm that worldview will often be readily shared without people giving much thought to where the story came from.
It's sort of like a self-gratifying feedback loop almost.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Mm. But you know, this idea of Facebook trying to get their users to rank media sources in terms of trustworthiness, this just seems to be Facebook doing sort of busy work, you know, to make themselves look like they're addressing the criticism. I can't see how it's going to help in any way, really. You know, so it's kind of like this idea, this logic of the sort of the market will sort everything out, this idea of smart mobs, you know, that somehow the collective intelligence of a mass of people will somehow produce the truth, like the idea that sort of collective choices of individuals within a market will produce some kind of happiness. It's rubbish.
And especially when they've been told by this platform that their views are basically successful or not, but correct based on the sort of information that they've received, it's sort of just going to perpetuate that when they're going to be like, all right, well, that article's correct, so I'm going to say this site is right.
And also people want to get, you know, people want to get likes, and they want to get people to sort of favor it and on Twitter retweet stuff, or on Facebook, you know, to like and follow, and so people post stuff that people like and follow, so they produce more stuff that does that. Do you see what I mean? It doesn't take into account the other reasons why people are are posting. I mean, the problem for me is media education. I'm actually sort of head of Department of Media and Communication, not critical theory, but we do that as well. And it seems to be, you know, the basic thing here is educating people so that they can have more informed opinion about whether a story might be trustworthy.
Mm.
You know, this I can't. You know, media studies or studying the media today is massively important for these very, very reasons. We have to produce a generation of people coming through, and after that, who are capable of making reasoned, rational, and informed decisions about what is true or real or just made up in propaganda, you know?
Yeah.
So it's about education. It's not simply allowing people to rank. If people are just going to kind of charge in there and rank whatever supports their political position, right? It's just going to be a battle of getting enough numbers on Facebook to take part in the ranking. Just see what I mean? I can't see how it's going to solve a problem at all. The only way we can get around this is by properly educating users into what is a valid story and what isn't, right? How do you find that out? How do you become sure that this is valid and informed and thought out and supported and evidence-based and all the rest of it?
Right. So, we're also joined in studio by news director Lillian Hanley. Lillian, would you like to add anything to this?
Yeah, hi, Neil.
Oh, kia ora, Lil.
I'm glad that you mentioned media education, because that's what I wanted to ask you about. And I just want to go back to how you mentioned that Facebook has or lacks the checks and balances that we need to ensure we're getting, you know, good, correct information. Do you think with this issue of media education, has there been a lapse in this, or do you think there hasn't, you know, the change of times has changed so very rapidly and we haven't caught up or we haven't kept up with this, right? Because we've got, back in the day, you have one particular news source or whatever it might be, for example BBC, that you trust, right? That's your traditional news source, and you always go to them and you trust what they have to say. And now we have a huge range of news sources, particularly whether they be articles from BBC or wherever, but they do come through another source now. They come from another platform and it's online. Have we just not kept up in teaching our kids that, you know, how to, or did we know how to check what was, you know, true or correct information back when we had that one news source?
I think that's there's lots of issues there. I think the first issue is that I think in terms of media literacies, I'm imagining that we're drifting more towards a kind of technical literacy, right? So that young people know how to use particular platforms, media, or software, right, in technical terms, rather than the old ways of thinking, kind of the hermeneutic issues about how to interpret a text, how to interpret an image, right? And to be asking basic questions linked to political economy, right? Who's speaking? Why are they speaking? Whose interest does this serve? Who is not speaking and why, right? Those are the sorts of questions we need to kind of make sure we're asking again. And also, there's been a general attack across the board on media departments, right? It's always been sort of mocked by people in the media, you know, that it's a soft subject or something. And this is partly because people who work in the media seem to object to academic scrutiny of what they do, but also they just don't actually understand what we do. So there's been a lowering of the value of media studies as well, and I'm sure that's affected young people taking it as a subject of school, as well as people going through to university. But given that everything goes through media, given that politicians are using media, given it's absolutely central to our work and life, and we live in completely mediated environments, the idea that we should not be developing complex, robust, and rigorous media literacies in our young people baffles me. So,
but I mean, you can't probably hope that media becomes a compulsory subject, or you can't expect everybody to study media. How do we ensure that everyone is getting some form of media, critical media education?
Well, that's a difficult thing, because media is not, you can't, it's not like a silo subject where it all exists in one place. If you think about how media operate now across disciplines, subjects, institutions, right? Media are everywhere. So we need that kind of critical literacy in relation to media for all kinds of disciplines and subjects. Of course, you need a core media studies discipline that might set that out for young people. So I think you'd have to go back to that and making sure that the media studies programs we're doing are suitable for the current media climate, right? And perhaps not sort of stuck in some older theories that perhaps don't apply now.
Mm. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much, Neil, for coming on the show. We really appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.